Daddy Rick will take care of you.
Thank you, Rick.
That's what I do, baby.
Don't call yourself Big Daddy, though.
That's from Beavis and Butthead. That's the, that's from that episode when Beavis and Butthead are sitting there and Daria comes up and she says, I'm writing for the school paper. I'm here writing for the, you know, the Highland Inquirer. And then Butthead says, why don't you inquire about how some girls can please dig Big Daddy Butthead? That was funny when they did it. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. And welcome to 503-733-2970. Is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Rick, no lie, Prosser is Latin for I suffer. Speaking of Prosser, I am headed. Oh, this is from. And 3, 2, 1.
Come on.
Speaking of Prosser, I'm headed up to the Tri-Cities for the weekend. Lucky you. The last time I was there, I ended up karaokeing Every Rose Has Its Thorn at a ball at a bar in a strip mall. Oh, I would give anything. I'd give anything for the footage. Pleased to be suggesting some of the fantastic sights I can expect to see while I'm there. How are the Applebee's in the Tri-Cities? All right, thank you. It's 503-733-2970. Okay, no, seriously, though. I say this, then we'll go to Tim. If you are going to the Tri-Cities, I will say that it's not the best ever. That goes to American Dream, which is here. But one of my top five pizzas of all time, and I've had pizza a lot of places, is a place called... It's a place called Hubby's Pizza, H-U-B-B-Y, apostrophe S, Hubby's Pizza, in Kennewick. It is one of the best pizzas I have ever had in my life, period. And I've had that people who are not from the Tri-Cities area has concurred with me on that. It's a fantastic pizza. So that's really the only thing you need to see while you're in Kennewick. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a few, we'll have Scott Daly, also Ed McCarthy, and so forth. Let us go to the Ministry of Truth. Where Tim Riley is
and now,
with the thing.
From the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A giant pipe causes pandemonium. It all started at 9 o'clock this morning when a cement pipe broke free from a truck. This happened on the Markham Bridge, and it landed on the highway. Fuel from the truck leaked from the Markham Bridge onto the OMSI parking lot. Huge chunks clobbered cars, some the size of footballs. At least 8 to 10 cars were damaged. And we understand last time we heard they were cutting up pieces of the pipe. And I guess they're pretty for the asking.
So this is, I wanted to get this news because this is, people have been asking us about this. So this is, they are cutting up pieces of the pipe because I think, and somebody did concur with me on this, that the deal is if the pipe is fractured or the structural integrity has been, you know, diminished, they're afraid that if they pick it up, it'll fall apart and then a lot of pieces will roll everywhere and just all kinds of destruction.
And we can't have that.
No. Now, here's the thing. We'll talk to Ed McCarthy here in a second, then we'll finish up with Tim Riley. And then, Tim, how do you feel about going to the roof?
The roof.
The roof? The top of the coin tower?
Yeah. High atop the top of the coin tower.
And that way you could tell us, you know, firsthand how the backup is because of this big pipe.
Okay.
Are you afeard of high places?
Very much so.
Really? Is that true?
Yes.
What is that called? Acrophobia, I believe. So, really,
you're fearing for one's life.
Well, you don't. We're not asking you
if
to do it.
Is that what you trust the guy you're standing next to?
Yes, Brian does have a crazy look in his eyes sometimes. Now, if you would like to pass, we could send somebody else up there, Tim.
Now, is there a high railing?
No.
How tall is the ledge?
We'll find out in a second. Hold on. We'll find out here. But first, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the Dirty South.
I'm a brave newsman, but I don't want to die.
Where keeping it trill is our very own Ed McCarthy. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Listen, I got to tell you, you have a serious situation there, and I'm a jerk. He answers the phone. He says, can I ask who's calling? And I make up a name.
Did you?
I did. I said, Ralph Ganglinger. He says, hold on, Ralph.
That's the quality phone screening you only get by paying nothing for the person who's doing it. That really is. Okay. How's life in the South, my friend?
It's fine. Nice day today, and we're looking forward to the weekend.
Here's the thing. I was not going to pursue this tainted spinach story today. And then Sarah said, hey, what about the tainted spinach? And I said, well, you know, I don't know. And then she pointed out, and then we had it on our own news, that apparently this, I shouldn't make light of this, but this tainted spinach, I thought because they had assigned the story to you that it was merely a Southern story, but apparently it's not. In fact, I think there's a woman.
Over.
I believe there is a woman here in Salem who is very sick.
Yes.
Who has gotten the E. coli. And this is, And this sounds like a dumb question. It makes it sound like I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But what is E. coli, and what does it do to you, briefly?
It's pretty nasty. It starts out with vomiting and diarrhea, and then it could turn into kidney and liver problems later.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful. This is really quite a story. We're big bag spinach fans here at this house, and haven't had it in a while. I guess I'm glad. I don't know. We've gone, I guess, to the garden variety salad.
This is the unfortunate thing, and again, it hasn't been in a few days, but my wife and I consume this fresh bagged spinach like maniacs. I mean, we go through two or three bags of it a week, and I don't think we have E. coli. I think, dumb question, if you get E. coli, how long does it take you to know?
I think you know right away.
Okay.
Pretty bad.
Well, okay. So I don't have it, so that's the good news. But this is what, in 8 states? 10 states?
10 states now. Not in California, they thought it might have been, but Kentucky took over. And I see you guys have it in Oregon. And, that's something they don't know where it is. I mean, Wisconsin, they had the most cases. So they're still trying to trace, what farmland, where it came from. And there are other things they're looking at, too, which is, it's very strange. In some cases, more women than men have gotten it. But by the same token, when you look at it all over the country, it's, kids have it, adults, the elderly.
Here's a question about E. coli. Is E. coli, it's not a man-made disease, by which I mean, is this a naturally occurring in nature disease, or is it a thing that comes from, letting stuff mold on the assembly line? Or
no, that's a weird thing. I don't know. They have another thing called listeria, which is, almost the same. But they say with this particular case of E. coli, it's a bacteria. But, how it festers, I really can't give you the answer on that. But I know that they are saying with this particular E. coli case, this strain of E. coli, they said, even boiling it or whatever just won't get rid of it. So, it's pretty bad. And if you have spinach salad, I know it's usually out of the bag and into the bowl, and there goes the salad dressing.
Well, and we try not to engage in fear-mongering or whatever here. But, really, if somebody's got a big bag of spinach they bought in the fridge, they really ought to just toss it, right?
That's right. And I was saying to them this morning, in the newsroom, the sick humor that we always have, but they probably they're taking them off the shelves. They probably won't have to because every network in the country's bought them up and they're using them as props on TV.
Totally. So, all right. So if you got any of this in your refrigerator, just chuck it and do whatever. And I guess if you start hurling blood out of any unnatural orifice, you probably got to pick up the phone and call the doctor about that. So. doesn't that seem logical?
No, it's true.
I'm just trying to help, Ed McCarthy.
It's a sick thought for the weekend, but, that's it. Stay away from the spinach. They always said eat your spinach.
Yeah.
Now they say don't eat it.
Yeah, you ought to hear some of the stories we choose not to read. It really does. We are so desensitized to suffering and human misery on this program that it takes a lot.
Jury duty last week, and I was talking to, when I had my little thing with the judge, and I was thrown out, the guy said to me, he says, well, he says, I don't think they'll be calling you back anytime soon. But he was a paramedic.
Yeah.
He was telling me, he says, they have the dark humor as well. Yeah.
No, and we've learned, anytime a story has the phrase wood chipper or corpse or, unnatural relations with, those are all key words to us, So
in the old phrase, if it bleeds, it leads.
Exactly. And it's not if it bleeds or if it goes through a wood chipper, it leads here. So
I always like the wood chipper stories. They're my favorite.
Exactly. All right. Ed McCarthy, enjoy your weekend. Try not to drip blood out of anything that shouldn't drip blood. And
get away from that bag spinach, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'm saying, brother. All right. There you go, my friend. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. I dig that guy. Okay, what you just missed here was that... is he up there? Yeah. So Tim Riley, intrepid newsman, is now being... I was hoping to get him back for a few more stories so we could... I was actually hoping that we could bring Sean Couples, our engineer, in here to describe the roof and the railing before Tim went up there. But I think they've just taken him.
Oh, no.
Creedy style. So Tim is now on his way to the roof of the coin tower, where he will then be looking out with fear. I didn't know he was afraid of heights.
That's a mean thing for us to do.
I feel bad because that wasn't what I intended. I intended to have Sean come in, describe how high it was and the railing, and then see if Tim wanted to go up. I wasn't intending for him just to, like, I wasn't trying to make him go. So now I have to, so when Tim gets back here, we have to clarify that I, you know, I was going to give him the choice of whether to go up or not. Now he's just been taken. The engineers have just taken
him. Scott Deli was saying he wanted to go.
Well, there you go. Hi, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Let me find the... Hey, look at you. Thank you. Let's welcome now to the... welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program from FilmPeopleRadio.com. Scott Daly, how are you, sir?
I'm well. I didn't necessarily want to go, but if Tim didn't want to go, I would have filled Tim's shoes.
You would have filled his shoes. Wow,
it's too late.
Hard to do. Let's see. I have... That is, we'll talk later on. Now, here's what you're going to do. You've actually got a film to review today.
Believe it or not.
And a film that I'm really interested about.
Yeah. So The Black Dahlia, which is the new Brian De Palma film based on the James Ellroy novel.
Yes, sir.
Which I've never read, but which I've heard great things about. And so you've got that. We'll talk about Star Wars DVDs, and then you've got this commentary.
Yeah.
Before that, let me get a couple of these calls. Sean, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. You were asking how this is affecting the other side of town.
This is the Markham
over,
Bridge.
The Hawthorne area, and it's bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Oh, are you kidding me? And it's not even rush hour.
This is retarded.
There you go. That's the stunning, insightful commentary that we expect.
I've had to cancel all of my afternoon appointments because I just literally cannot get to them.
And you know, here's the thing. Tim and I were talking about this before they took him up on the roof to die.
Stop saying that, because if he does blow off, that's going to be awful. Well,
he's not a cardboard cutout.
He is a smaller man.
He's a diminutive man.
And it's a windy day.
Tim will be just
what
fine.
What a great way to go, though, really.
Walk the breeze.
Live on the program, reporting the news. That's how he'd want it. That's how Murrow would have wanted it. You know what Tim and I were noting is the stupid thing about this. Look at this. Tim looks petrified. Or looked petrified, Scotty is saying. Oh. I feel so bad. The thing about this bridge, this Markham Bridge thing is, what's horrible is that everybody's going to have the same stupid idea, which is, let's get out of here early. So all that's going to do is make rush hour start at 3, not 5.
Well, and you know how traffic is so wonderful in our beautiful city to begin with.
Every Friday at 5 sucks more than anything has ever sucked before, and it's going to be even worse today.
So the worst part is I have to go out to Tannisbourne right now is where I'm trying to get to.
Lucky you.
I'm so sorry, my friend.
I'm thrilled.
All right. Well, maybe you can just take Tim's body back there.
Don't they have him bungees to the roof up there?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, actually, because I've been on the roof of the Coin Tower, and I'm trying to remember. Thank you, Sean. I'm trying to remember what it's like up there. It's actually, there's a railing that is about nipple high. Which is about neck high on Tim.
Fine.
So that's
fine.
No, on Tim, that's a little higher than, you know, he's a small man. So so it's not so bad. I mean, you could still kill yourself. Don't get me wrong.
How many stories?
They could throw you, too. If you were up there with somebody bigger, they could throw you.
How many stories is this lovely building?
I actually don't even know the answer to that.
30? 20?
No, more than that.
70? 60?
70?
No. You're making stuff up. It's not an auction. I don't know.
The Wells Fargo Tower, I think it's 45 or 50.
Well, this is shorter than the Wells Fargo Tower, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like 30. But you know what? The thing is, anything above 10 is lethal. That's what they tell you.
Well,
if you're a jumper?
Good to know.
I'm reading this Nick Hornby book now called Long Way Down.
How is it?
It's good. I'm liking
it.
I didn't think I was going to like it, but I am. Nick Hornby, Long Way Down. It's Long Way Down. It's kind of an interesting premise. It's a book about four people who meet at the top of a... I guess there's a building called Topper's House in England, in London, and I guess it's a famous building. It's like the Golden Gate Bridge here. It's a famous building where people jump to their deaths. And so it's about four people who meet at the top of Topper's House to kill themselves on New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow.
And then it just follows the four of them together as a group. Anyway, but they note that anything above 10 stories is lethal.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right, file that one away. Thank you.
Okay, so just, you know, the more you know. anywho. So, well, let me get some of these calls, and then we'll talk Black Dahlia, okay. Then we'll talk to Tim.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that is Tim. Let me find...
I have a new sound. Wait,
let me just do this. Let's find out what's happening at CBS. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Tim Riley on the top of the Coin Tower. Tim, hello, sir.
Hello, everyone. I am high atop the Coin Tower in downtown Portland. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Tim Riley, hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm okay. Is it hot where you are?
It is. It's wonderful up here.
All right.
I'm 31 stories high, top one of the tallest buildings in Portland, Oregon. Looking down on the Markham Bridge, and I see the southbound ramp is closed. I see 1, 2, 3, 4 Trix. I see OMSI. And I see absolutely no activity going on there at this time.
They're on lunch break.
Yes, now, can you see the pipe that has closed the bridge, Tim?
I cannot. I'm too far away. I should have brought binoculars.
Is okay. It scary next up there, Tim?
What's that?
Is it scary up there?
Yes, it is. So. That's I've never been petrified in my life.
Are you harnessed into the building somewhere, Tim?
What's that?
Are you harnessed?
Yeah,
to the
are you are you secured somehow?
I am not, but I see a piece of rope by my feet, and I might tie myself to it.
Is there? I can't remember. Is there a railing to keep you from jumping?
Well, no.
Attention, potential.
Scotty.
So is northbound traffic moving, Tim? Is it just southbound?
Northbound traffic is moving. There's hardly anything going northbound. It looks like people are heeding the traffic instructions. Northbound is moving fine, but I guess it's southbound that's closed.
And Tim, how many stories up are you?
31?
31.
31.
Yeah, 31. Anything over 10 is lethal, by the way.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to look down.
Scotty J is requesting that you, Scotty J is requesting that you, I'm quoting now from the screen, ask Tim, it says, to pat his chest while he talks to make a helicopter noise.
Pat my chest to make a helicopter noise. How was that?
Okay, okay, thanks, Tim. All right, so it's closed. What south northbound?
Southbound.
Southbound.
Southbound. Northbound is moving. There's hardly any traffic northbound. So if you ever want to drive on the north, the Markham Bridge northbound, now's the time. Come on out.
Fantastic. Excellent. High atop the top of the coin tower, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley.
You can come back down now, Tim.
Well done. You can come home now. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Tim. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Riley, high atop the top of the coin tower.
Oh. That is a real newsman.
It really is.
Right,
no, he's intrepid, is what he is. All right. Let's see. Let's get a couple of these here. Chuck, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Rick. I called about the E. coli, but about the Markham Bridge, that is a linchpin in Portland. It'll screw up traffic and can be.
Well, that guy said on Hawthorne it was bad. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because everybody, like you said, everybody takes the secret route.
Yep.
And
yep.
No longer secret. Now, yep. E. coli is a foodborne disease of the digestive system that is shared with cows.
Okay.
It is almost always spread by fecal matter.
Oh, that's a thank you.
And my guess would be that they may have fertilized the spinach too late and like sprayed raw manure on the spinach as it was being harvested.
Well, thanks. Thanks,
yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd love to make your day.
Yeah.
I could use me some spinach.
And fecal matter gets you right on the air, I got to tell you.
Here, that's true, really.
Scotty slammed the button down on me. He's like, home.
You said the magic word. You went to the front of the line.
That's right.
Fantastic. Thank you, Chuck.
All right, Rick.
There you go. No, that really is true. They call it, you know, I have a story about a guy's testicles. And like, we're just going to, okay, hold on. Let's get you right to the, let's do one more and then we'll break. Our good friend, Kara, on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sister.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Kara. What's up?
I'm forcing my mom to listen to the show today, and we're in the very sluggish traffic on MLK heading south.
Okay.
And we're talking about Tim in the Heights, and she said, well, he went up in the hot air balloon, and that was 1,500 feet. He'll be fine. You should call and tell them that. So that's all I'm doing.
Okay.
Tim will be just fine.
I'll be sure to tell Tim that. He was intrepid, though. He played through the pain. He did it, though.
Well, and I do have to say that in the balloon, he never really stood up.
Well, it's...
He crashed the whole time.
It can be hard to tell.
It's the fact that he went up there.
Oh,
that's
okay. Not nice, Rick.
All right, all right. Thank you, Kara.
You get thanks for that.
Okay. Ooh. Well, we'll do that later. All right, there you go. That's Kara, ladies and gentlemen. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Come back, we'll talk about the Black Dahlia. What else? DVDs. Oh, and we'll play some of these, some more of this sound from Aaron's, from this commentary you guys take for Strange Brew. Genius. Ladies and gentlemen, like us in about 45 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
something, something. Scott fell off my couch. Cause he drank too much of that Labatt's Blue, yeah.
Jack Daniels.
Gotta do some shots now, yeah. Eat some good donuts. Get me some strange brew. I'm gonna leave this alone. Cause I'm so angry.
Matt Monsanto is in this movie.
Yeah,
there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Tim Riley is back in the his house, ladies and gentlemen.
Tim!
So, 503-733-2970, newsman Tim Riley. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
You look a little pale.
I'll be all right.
So,
we didn't know that he was taking
you. Yeah, I wanted to clarify this.
I didn't know it was serious either till we got there.
I can be very clear. My goal was to have Sean come in and describe the roof and then see if you wanted to go up there. The next thing I knew, I just saw them leading you into the elevator.
Yes, I was led to the roof.
It was really like you were being taken away to a camp or something, or a train. Come with us now, Tim Riley.
Well, I was at the, I was on the roof.
All right. You're actually shaking now. I mean, it's very, you look very pale.
I'm okay.
And Tim is usually a very tan man.
This is how Murrow felt after the Blitz, you know. It was just like you're late. You know what it is? The next few meals are going to taste a little bit better. Your wine will taste a little sweeter, Tim Riley, now that you've looked death in the eye.
This is the 31st floor.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. Well,
it's a little narrow area. There is no room to take a wrong step.
Oh.
Only one.
The great thing about it is...
There is no great thing about that.
we'll go to the news desk in a second.
Is the vomiting afterward?
We'll go to the news desk here in a moment, do a couple of headlines, and then we'll talk more with Scott Daly. The thing about when you go to the roof, which I've done, is that... It's like being in Die Hard. It really is like you're walking around the top of the Nakatomi Building.
You expect a helicopter to come...
Totally, and you expect there to be Playboy Playmates on the wall, you know, and like, I don't know whether Jason Crump, and Jason Crump and I are totally in the elevator, and we're just doing nothing but Die Hard lines. And it was a whole lot of, like, nice suit, John Phillips, London.
The strangest thing up there is there are two cut pieces of rope.
Totally, isn't that weird?
Which made you think... Why are these cut? What were the circumstances leading to it? Will it be done again?
And the top of the building, and I mean the absolute MFing top of the building, is ringed in little white Christmas lights. Have you noticed that? Yep. You see those? Which is weird, which I don't think can even be seen from anywhere. That's a whole lot of, like, taking your girlfriend up there, you know.
It's definitely the Mile High Club.
Yeah, no, that really is. I mean, that's a lot of, like, you know, my secretary and I are going to be taking dictation for a while. And then you go up there. Why would you have tiny little lights at the top of that? Which no one can see anywhere. Yeah, and you're right. There's like a little planks on the ground and then big pieces of rope that look at the end as though they're afraid. Like as though someone was dangling off the building in the doorway.
Like they snapped.
Yes.
Like window cleaners?
Yeah, but it's not the kind of rope. I mean, it's like old rope. It looks like it's from there. Like it's like a Pirates of the Caribbean 1940s rope. Mm-hmm. You'll have to go up there sometime. It's freaky.
The question is why.
Sean Couples actually told me, I don't know if it's true or not, or if he was just sort of,
he was probably messing with you.
He told me, because he's got a pair of keys. I believe he and Brian are the only guys with the keys. He told me that there's a $10,000 deposit on those keys. Sean told me, he's like, if I lose the key to the roof, it's 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's insane. Yeah, but there's a frayed rope. It's all very freaky. All right, let's do a couple of the stories, then we'll find out more about the highway, then we'll talk to Tim Riley. Ladies and gentlemen of the Ministry of Truth, it is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A booger led police to a serial bank robber. When the Rogue Federal Credit Union was robbed, investigators collected many pieces of evidence, including surveillance photos. Other clues were left behind, too. Basically, a booger that was left on the counter in front of the teller where he robbed the person from.
Are you tell me they're using the booger for DNA?
They did.
Oh, it's so awful.
It was sent off to the crime lab and came back as this gentleman's booger. Arrested is the booger belongs to Joseph Seitzinger.
Why would it be on the counter? I don't want to know.
No, you don't want to know.
Here's the thing. I don't find humor regarding magical nose goblins to be, as is, you know what it is? That's like flatulence humor. It's just, it makes me very awkward. And you know, here's the thing. I say this because Sarah on her blog, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to say
Brooke
that
Shields.
You have a picture of Brooke Shields extracting and then,
oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
Extracting.
And then, redepositing in her stomach.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm talking about. You're the one who posted it on your goddamn
weblog. I know, but I don't talk about it.
Yeah, you just put it up there so I can see it.
Yes.
Let me go and see what's on Sarah. Ah! You know, and it's like, you know, and there you are, knuckle deep in your mouth. I mean, that's no good.
Not me, Brooke Shields.
Not you, Brooke Shields. That's what taking antidepressants will get you, Brooke Shields. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, on to hour two of the sound bites. We go.
All right.
They build and construct a huge, attractive fence on the U.S.-Mexican border has been cleared by the House.
In the post-9/11 world, it is absolutely necessary that we move to secure our borders. And as the poet wrote, good fences make good neighbors.
He's being sarcastic. Never
mind. J.D. Hayward. No, he's being serious.
No, but I'm saying, but when, never mind. But that
he's
poem
nuts.
Is ironic. All right. Yeah, he is crazy.
So, problem solved. No more people crossing the border thanks to that attractive
fence. There you go. I expect all illegal immigration to stop now.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Florida, shall we?
Never. I'm not even going to
try.
That was my errand.
I'm drunk. While using an undercover deputy and a dog, Stewart, Florida Sheriff's Officers busted a 56-year-old man for exposing himself. Witnesses told deputy that Frank Skinova often flashed his Tropical Farms trailer park neighbors at his front door while performing unnatural acts.
Oh.
Authorities
they're very natural acts.
Since the authorities couldn't catch him, the undercover deputy and animal were sent in.
What?
An undercover deputy and animal were sent in, and as the officer walked the dog in the trailer park, the suspect allegedly did it again.
It is very traumatizing, especially to some of these elderly women, or people just walking by, you know, just trying to have a walk, a comfortable walk, and to look over and see a man naked exposing himself.
Not just exposing himself, but engaging in what you call an unnatural act?
That's correct, yes.
All right.
Even for a trailer park.
Using a bowling pin.
A Brooklyn mother claims she was harassed while breastfeeding her baby at a Toys R Us.
Oh, wait. Scotty has told me that... okay, I'm sorry. This is a... Scotty, where is this at? Where is the new... Is it new random? Yeah, it doesn't... It's not there. No, what's it called? What is it titled? There is nothing entitled Milky in this folder. Okay, there is no soundbite entitled Milky. All right, well,
perhaps it was...
It's not there. Where is it? You point to it.
I guess you skipped that class at Mount Hood Community College.
Okay, no, Scotty took great pride in this, that he had created a breastfeeding sounder for Sarah. And then he was all like, get ready to play it. And then he's typing in the screen, play it. And I'm like, it's not in here. And he didn't believe me and came in and looked, and it's not there. Yeah, $22,000 well spent.
That happens to me all the time. All right. And it costs me nothing.
All right. Okay, so go ahead.
Well, Chelsea Meyerson took her, which is bad pronunciation, probably written by an intern, had took her 3-year-old daughter to a store to celebrate her birthday when she began to breastfeed her younger son. Mm. A saleswoman told her it was inappropriate, and she had to stop unless she moved to the basement. Number 3.
It was very humiliating, and it ruined her birthday celebration, and everyone was looking at me because I was very upset.
3-year-old Olivia Meyerson said the salesperson did not treat Mama well.
Two people come up. And yelled at her.
Okay. There you go. How old is that child?
3-year-old.
Why
Olivia Meyer.
3-year-old breastfeeding. Oh, I guess it wasn't her. It was a baby.
It was a baby.
Well, no one cares. All right. Okay.
Is that the end of the Heck Watch?
Yes. Yeah. It really was.
Copenhagen.
Heck Watch.
Makes me feel scared. Copenhagen. The way I know it should. Well, I pulled a shoe in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. That Copenhagen makes me feel so good. How about you?
I hope you're not mad at me. P.S. You can touch it.
All right, there you go. It's that's not Milky either, by the
what
way.
What is that?
I don't know. Wait, hold on.
We were a lesbian couple.
Oh, that's fantastic. Excellent. I'm going to use that. Okay, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't find the other one.
Okay, thank you. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Intrepid newsman journeying to the very top of the coin tower. Well done. Okay, good.
That is a rare appearance.
Well done, sir. All right. It's 503-733-2... Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. 503-733-2970. Is this the breastfeeding sounder?
That's it.
What kind of breast were you fed on, Scotty? This is like
is
you're
this
being,
how long it is?
This is like you're being breastfed by a paint machine. One of those, like you're trying to get the color of teal just right. Okay, well, that was a long way to a really short payoff. All right, it's 503-7... Okay, thank you. I don't need to know why it sounds that way. All right, hold on, let's stop. And
he's
just
getting a little too big for his britches, that study day.
Stop and get a hold of ourselves.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, shmeal, shalazzle, Hackensack Incorporated. We're going to do it.
And here's another one, by the way. This is from Aaron and Scott's comment. I got to quit doing that. Scott's commentary. You got? Was it for Strange Brew?
Yeah, it's our very first monthly drunken film fever commentary. This month we did Strange Brew. Friday night we got together. It was myself, Aaron, Clyde Lewis, and Jason Crump, and Aaron from Vantage Point Photography. Mm.
You created that room.
Scott, what's up with that?
Sorry, dude.
Keep
Scott, are you getting touchy already?
I'm all touchy.
Maybe if you've done two women, you wouldn't need another guy.
Oh, what the hell is that? Wait, let's hear that one. That one took a left turn at the end. Hold on. This is Scott and Aaron.
Scott, what's up with that?
Sorry, dude.
Scott, are you getting touchy already?
I'm all touchy.
Maybe if you've done two women, you wouldn't need another guy.
All right, shut up.
Have you only slept with one woman?
That's not what that sounded like to me.
No. That's not
I don't get it.
That's not what it's referring to.
Sorry, dude.
Scott, are you getting touchy already?
I'm all touchy.
Maybe if you've done two women, you wouldn't need another guy.
At the same time. That's all
I would do if I had $1 million.
Yeah, seriously. Peter Man! All right. Jesus. Well, tell us more about this interesting commentary of yours, Scotty. Scott?
this is an idea that Aaron and I have been talking about for a little bit. And yeah, I know.
Well, we talked about it earlier. It's like
Sarah can't get off the two women thing.
I'm just confused.
No, and the idea behind this is, you know, we hear Kevin Smith commentaries, all these great commentaries and films out there. We thought, why not take a commentary from geeks like us, drink a lot, as you can tell,
is
the case there, and record our own commentary. So what we've done is recorded the very first Film Fever Drunken Radio commentary, and we did it in four segments, because one would be an hour and a half, be too big. So we broke it up four times. So later on this evening, you could download all four segments and start watch, you know, put it on your MP3 player, on your computer, or whatever. Hit play, and then put in your Strange Brew DVD, and when we tell you to start the movie, you can watch the movie with us. It's like you're there with us.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
We played this one earlier. This is Clyde asking if Mr. Clean industrial solvent can be used as a mixer.
This might be a stupid question. Is Mr. Clean a mixer?
Yeah, no. Yes, why drink
okay,
it?
Thanks.
Yes,
I'll be right
yes, back.
about that point, I started getting hiccups. I had hiccups for like 3 hours.
Let's see. This one is just labeled Clyde sauce.
Oh.
Clyde sauce. Ew.
Clyde sauce. My sauce, good. Baby. Enjoy it.
I don't like Clyde sauce. That's too much my uncle.
That's genius.
We had,
I don't even know what that's about.
We had such a, you know, it was funny. I heard the commentary last night for the first time since Saturday night, and hearing it, I don't remember half the things we talked about.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
Hearing it again for the first time. We had
hearing
so
it again for the first time.
I knew you'd do that.
We had so much fun doing this. We're gonna do it every single month going on.
Okay.
And, I ran into a few things. They picked on me a lot.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the Black Dahlia, which opens today.
Yeah, Black Dahlia is the latest film by Brian De Palma, who has brought us great classics such as Scarface and The Untouchables, and a film, I think a very underrated film called Blowout from like 82.
Blowout, also Dressed to Kill.
Dressed to Kill.
Yeah.
Snake Eyes with Nicholas Cage.
Snake Eyes. And then also Phantom of the Paradise, I think, was him too.
Yeah, he also did Carlito's Way, which I really
Carlito's Way, which is a great film.
Yeah.
I was out and they pulled me back in.
Sean Penn is great in that movie.
That's a great movie.
The Black Dahlia is based off a James Ellroy novel of the same title, and it's centered around the true unsolved murder case in 1940s in L.A. called the Black Dahlia. A struggling actress, her body was discovered mutilated.
Yeah, it's a horrible crime.
It's unbelievable what happened to this girl.
They find this actress cut into various pieces in like a steamer trunk by the side of the road.
Yeah, it's bad news.
Bad scene.
So so Elroy took the premise of this unsolved murder and built a story around what's going on. It's a really thick book. I don't know if you've read it, James Elroy.
I haven't read the book. Elroy, who most people know from L.A. Confidential.
Right.
I know it's kind of a cool story, actually, about him, too, because the reason he is fascinated by the Black Dahlia murder, I don't know if you know this or not, the reason that James Elroy is fascinated with it is because his mother vanished and was found killed and murdered in kind of a similar fashion, and not connected,
really?
But in a similar fashion when he was a very small boy, when he was like eight.
So why is this murder called the Black Dahlia murder?
I actually don't even know the answer to that.
Because... around the same time, there was... I could be wrong on this. I can't claim to know.
I know that when he was 8 or 9, his mom was kidnapped and killed in a very brutal fashion. And then by sheer coincidence, a couple years later, when he was 10 years old, he discovered the Black Dahlia murder. He found a book about it, or a newspaper report about it, when he was a small boy. And he said that investigating the Black Dahlia murder was a way for him to, like, deal with his mom's death because they were so similar. And so he became obsessed with the Black Dahlia murder because it so closely mirrored his mother's death. And it's been a lifetime obsession for him.
Wow.
And that's why he wrote the book and da-da-da-da, and then they based the movie on it.
The problem
I've heard mixed reviews of this film.
It's not a good film. Here's why. The Josh Friedman, who wrote the film... had written the script like 5-6 years ago.
Right.
And David Fincher was originally attached to direct. And Fincher wanted Friedman's original 185, 190, almost 3.5 hour film.
Right.
Script. And the studio said, no way, we're not doing it. You know, a typical studio.
Sure.
Brilliance.
Of course.
So Fincher left the project. And Friedman, the writer, cut his script took a third off a script, and so made the film only 2 hours long. And Brian De Palma came aboard, and there's just so much going on that it's hard to keep track. I mean, 30 minutes into the film, the murder, you know, we finally find the victim.
Right.
30 minutes into the film,
right.
Which is really the kind of reason, at least I'm there, because I'm fascinated by, A, who would do this,
right.
Why, and that's really kind of a subplot for the entire film. There's way too much going on. The writing is weak. There's a lot of heavy narration by Josh Hartnett, who's the lead in the film,
right.
Who doesn't really fit. I like Josh Hartnett, but he doesn't really fit in this role. Aaron Eckhart just seems bored throughout the whole time. And Hilary Swank has a horrible Scottish, British, Irish kind of accent. I'm not really quite sure what she's doing in this film. Scarlett Johansson looks beautiful as always, but is really kind of filler.
Do they even speculate as to who did it?
Yes, they do. They do. They have big speculation. I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
But by the time you get to that point in the film, you just don't care.
You just want
it to be over. Now, I will say this. It's a very beautiful film.
It looks good.
De Palma has a knack for capturing the era with the use of the camera, with the set dressings, the dialogue, everything like that. But it looks really good. And there's a couple of very strong signature De Palma shots. There is a scene where he tries to recreate the baby carriage scene in The Untouchables.
Right.
Doesn't quite pull it off, but you can tell it's what he's going for again. And the music, the score of it, Mark Isham. It's beautiful. It's fantastic.
Let's get a couple. Let's see. Brandon here. Brandon, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, they were called the Black Dahlia Murderers because right after she was killed, somebody came forward and said, well, that was what we all called her, was the Black Dahlia. And apparently it was somebody had heard it one time, and then what it was sort of an early attention whore type thing coming to the tabloids and going, oh, yeah, I knew her really well, and she was always called the Black Dahlia, which it turned out it was never... she was called that maybe once.
But it's one of those things that, like, D.B. Cooper was a thing that was inaccurate, but they latched on to it.
You know, which is sad, because now he mentioned this, I do remember that briefly in the film. But like I said,
it's telling that you saw the movie like 3 days ago and you can't even remember.
It's so buried with everything else. It's a waste. It's really too bad because I was really excited to see this film. It's just not very good.
Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah.
There you go. Brian De Palma and I talked about this at the top of the show. He has such a spotty track record.
He does. And I don't know why I'm such a fan of him. But
because you want to like his movie. That's for me anyway. Because he's good just... you know what it is? Brian De Palma is like a slot machine that pays off just often enough to keep you coming back. Keep you paying. You know, because Untouchables, good film.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a great film.
It's
a good film.
I think it's fantastic.
I love Carlito's Way.
Yep.
And then beyond that, it's just he's really, really, really hit or miss.
You know what I really like about The Untouchables is the score.
Yeah, the score is great,
the score
and I love David
so
Mamet's.
Well done. Yeah,
I love Mamet's writing, but I mean, it's like How often do you sit around and watch Bonfire of the Vanities? That'd be never. So, I mean, it's, you know, and...
He's probably the only director in Hollywood that is that I really like, but I haven't liked every single one of his films.
His movies date so badly, too. So badly.
They do.
Scarface
they
being
do.
An example of that. Phantom of the Paradise being an example of that. And, of course, and the rumor has always been in Hollywood anyway that all the sequences you remember from Scarface, like the Say Hello to My Little Friend, that he didn't direct those anyway. That Spielberg directed those.
Oh, really?
So that's always... I don't know if it's true.
I don't know.
But that's what they've always said, is that Spielberg, who is really good friends with him, that Spielberg directed that whole sequence.
I think Black Dahlia would have been a much better film if Fincher had stayed.
Well, David
more because
Fincher
it's
would
totally
be
up
perfect.
His alley. Yeah.
And the thing is, of course, they said, well, David Fincher didn't direct it because he didn't want to get tied down to doing a serial killer film. And he's doing the goddamn Zodiac movie.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
I'm all over that.
So it's
disappointing. Like I said, wait for DVD if you want to check it out. But there's nothing to do with your weekend.
Tracy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Should we say Tracy?
Tracy.
Is Tim doing okay?
He's hurling into a bucket, I think.
Yeah, okay. I just want to let him know that my dad actually ran the tower crane when that coin tower was being built.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
how high up would he have been?
Well, so as high as you are, and then probably about another 100 feet by the time they saw.
Oh. You know, it's like that. I was in where the hell was I the other day? I was in some building. God, where was it? Maybe it was in L.A., actually. But it was like, I was way up there, and I looked out, and in fact, I think it was in L.A., because I looked out, and there was the City Group building or whatever across the street, and you see those window washers hanging off the side of the building, like 50 stories up, and it's like, I know that it's safe, and that there's belts and clips and clamps, and, you know, there's not enough money in the world.
I spent all day yesterday in the 35th floor of the Wells Fargo Tower in a meeting all day.
And there's the guy outside.
There's the rope. The rope hanging right down there. It's like, oh,
and do those guys get paid a lot or very little?
I'll bet they get paid a lot.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. You wonder, is it one of those things that, like, no one wants to do it and so they can pay you nothing?
I don't know.
Or
no,
is it that no one wants to do it and so they can pay you a lot?
I think there's a standard fee, but I think there's an additional hazard pay
the thing freaks me out.
Sort.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
Okay, there you go, Tracy. I'll take us out. I got a little something here. I'll play us into the break. It's 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Back after this, more Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. You stay right there.
For a moment. You know what it takes to sell real estate? It takes brass balls to sell real estate. Brass balls. We're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. First prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. Hit the bricks! Hit the bricks! Hit the bricks! Hit the bricks! Beat it! You know what it takes to sell real estate? Brass balls. Always be closing. You know what it takes to sell real estate? Brass balls. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted.
My wife filled in a form.
Get them to sign. And we have been played for the last year. Get them to sign.
We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is for Scotty J.
Because that's you, Scotty J, and your peeps.
And your hairy chest.
Wow, Sarah.
Oh, that sound horrifies me.
Sarah, do that again.
Go the what?
That was for you.
Maybe I'm a crazy. So in a silk pajama top.
A smoking jacket. Hey.
And a deep knowledge of bread.
I celebrate the entire bread catalog.
I find that noise to be really disconcerting.
Really?
It's pretty hot.
I can't do it either.
That's probably why it's envy.
I can't do it.
Can't you see Scotty in front of a roaring fire?
I can see Scotty grooving. Scotty's grooving to this on it.
With a sifter of brandy in his hand, smoking a pipe.
Dancing for Mrs. J.
I was going to say being oiled down by a weightlifter.
Borrowing his brother's chap.
Brokeback Mountain in the background. Mute.
Okay. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503. 833.
I got a whole bunch of these in here. I got a bunch of these bad songs that I haven't gone through.
Oh, you? What about the disabled guy rapping?
Oh, I've got that. Do I have that here?
Is it bad?
I'm pretty sure. Do I have the retarded rapper? And he is really a retarded rapper. He actually is. Oh no, this is a baby got book.
Read it.
Read that holy book. Baby, got
NIV with a ribbon bookmark.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
NIV with a ribbon bookmark. Baby,
got
NIV with a ribbon bookmark.
Where is somebody?
It was in there.
With a ribbon bookmark.
Yes. You played it for me a couple days ago.
I like them leather and bound. It's 50 pounds. I just can't understand how it is some weenie. Once bottle on CD. You want to get you...
No. I forgot about this.
The song is stuck in your head, though.
It really does. Okay, and then this one is for Scott Daly.
Let's take this into the
This is the worst song, and you were just here's why we're playing this. And Tim Riley and I have noted that this is the worst song in the history of the world because every hack talk show host uses this just so they can talk up the bed.
I just love that saxophone.
I just heard Dave Ramsey using this the other day. Wait, does this?
Here we go.
And this is what moment we wait for. Hold on. 6 minutes after the hour, Dave Ramsey show. Excellent. Lars Larson uses this too.
Keep going, Rick.
Oh God, I can't.
God bless it.
I can't use that. No, I have.
I think that you kind of.
There we go.
Ooh.
Let's go out with this.
I think you've kind of freaked yourself out about the hitting the post thing. I think you have a mental block about it now.
My confidence is shattered.
You totally have a mental block. You can't even do it anymore.
No, I can't. You know how it is with us. If we concentrate on us too much, it'll never happen again.
That's what happened to me in high jumping.
Yeah.
In track.
All right.
Hi, Scott. So what's happening at FilmFeverRadio.com?
Well, we've got episode 23 posting this afternoon at 6 p.m. I talk about the Black Dahlia. And Aaron and I get into a discussion about the re-release of Star Trek this weekend.
But they're Lucasing it up.
No, they're not Lucasing it up. They're not adding things. They're just cleaning it up, digitally remastering things, and putting it on the air. And then we're talking about the release of Star Wars DVD.
Don't buy that.
The crap.
For the love of God, don't buy it.
Why in God's name would Lucas re-release?
Listen to that. Sorry. That was like a Miss Piggy sound you just made.
Why would he re-release his... Okay, first of all, these Star Wars Edition special editions that came out this week. One side, you've got the enhanced...
No,
you got to
keep this going.
It's making me happy.
Okay, all right. If Sarah can say happy during a Star Wars talk, then we're all good.
I'm just blazed.
So one side, you've got the enhanced version. See guys bobbing back and forth.
Sarah and I are swaying in time.
I didn't even realize...
Come on, be a pro. Keep going.
All right. So you got the Star Wars DVD. On one side, they've got the new enhanced editions. On the second side, you've got the original trilogy, matte lines and all. But it's in 2.0 sound. It's not even a 5.1 stereo.
Yes.
And so it's just like, yes, I know the fans have been bitching and moaning about releasing the original trilogy, but at least give us some sound. I'm not even looking at you. I'm looking at Smokey in there.
Your concentration appears to be broken.
I can't.
So what's Star Trek? Star Trek? Is that what you're talking about?
No, there is Star Wars, the DVDs. There are special editions of DVDs released this week for Star Wars.
Okay.
With one side, you got the new special editions of Star Wars. The other side, the original 1970s. It's essentially a transfer from the Japanese Laserdisc to DVD. With crappy sound, that's all we get.
Don't buy it.
This weekend on CBS, Star Trek is being re-aired. Digitally enhanced, a new score. Not the, you know, they don't update it. They just redo it. Aaron really is the expert on this, but they're doing it right because they're cleaning up Star Trek and putting on TV again.
And if you want to know where to get that to like that Star Wars thing without giving Lucas any money, email Aaron.
Yeah,
he'll give you the hookup.
Okay. Anyway, so we talk about that in Film Fever Radio, and also I have to tip this one. We talked about it all day. Our first ever Drunken Film Fever Radio commentary
which
will be available
gold, by the way.
In a couple hours. You can download it and listen to it.
FilmFeverRadio.com.
FilmFeverRadio.com. We had a great time.
What's
we've
the
already
next
had
is it not censored at all?
No,
no
it's
not
it's
at all.
Propane
no,
as
it's,
hell.
Awesome.
It's not family friendly. And next month we're going to do Evil Dead 2.
Fantastic.
In celebration of Halloween.
Well, I'll be
and
there.
We want both of you there for any
okay,
of these
cool.
commentaries.
I'm done with Evil Dead.
And I called dibs on the Die Hard one.
You're in there, man.
All right.
You're in there.
Shout out to our good friend Chris, the mailman, official stenographer. Hello, sir.
Hey. Well, you just got that Star Wars DVD. You got Scott Nally, Drunken Commentary.
Yeah.
Storm Large, Ed McCarthy, Gary. Well, you got Gary and Lisa. But as far as I can tell, Rick Emerson, you got no penis.
Thank you. Thank you.
As far as we can tell, too.
So okay. That would put you at 51 for the weekend.
Woo. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks for helping out being a pal. All right. Thank you. You know, all I do, everybody's going to focus on the penis. Why always the penis? All right. Thank you, Chris.
Have a good weekend, right. And we'll talk to you Monday.
All right. There you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. FilmFeverRadio.com.
Yes, sir.
Where you can go to download. I wasn't asking you to speak. I was just mentioning that's where. No.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't. I wasn't throwing it. No, I'm saying I wasn't throwing it to you. I'm saying FilmFeverRadio.com is where you can get that commentary. There you go. What?
No. I'm done talking. I'm not allowed to speak
He's
anymore.
Silent.
I wasn't saying that. No, I was. I wanted to leave you free to enjoy the music.
Yeah, thanks.
Don't be a dick. No one.
Yeah, our commentary will be available in a few hours, as well as episode.
It is hilarious, by the way. The
Thank
ones
you.
I've heard is fantastic.
Thank you. We had a great time.
All right. By the way, you can go to FilmFeverRadio.com to find out more. Also, GeekInTheCity.com. We went to the CNN Radio. I love this music. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, Ed McCarthy, Gary Baumgarten. Stuff. Thank you. Things. Ending credits. Bastard. Sarah Zinn. Yeah. I guess. Bye now.